you see Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal,
yep,
right?
That's two.
Two leading Hollywood starlets who...
They're not starlets.
Oh,
they're
stars. Two leading Hollywood
that's
stars.
That's a little bit homophobic. Yeah.
Not intentionally, though.
Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Essend, and I'm here with my regular discoursers, Andrew Riley and Travis Hudson, and special guest discourser, Gurky. We're continuing our series on the movies of the 2000s, where we'll be talking about our favorite movie, the most influential movie, and the movies that are worthy of discourse. This year is going to be 2005, and Gurky, why don't you start us off, assuming you have the page loaded.
Hey, I just switched to it.
Of the top grossing movies of 2005.
Okay, so 2005, our highest grossing movie is Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, and it came in at $897 million.
So trending down
ever since Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, which kind of killed it.
Just killed the Harry Potter franchise.
Well, only $800 million. Yeah. Almost $900 million.
Yeah, 897 is pretty close. Then there's Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith, followed by Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, then War of the Worlds, King Kong, Madagascar, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Batman Begins, and rounding us out is Hitch.
Yep, so we have the best picture is starting at another Kathleen Kennedy movie, like I said, Munich. Then Good Night and Good Luck, Capote, then Brokeback Mountain, and the big winner was Crash.
Okay, so we're going to take a chance and try some more guessing. We are going to guess each other's either favorite or most influential movie. Each of us will have one guess to try and get one of those two movies. If we guess correctly, we get a point. If we don't guess correctly, we don't get a point. And points are just for pride bucks. So the current standings are that Paul has 6 points, Travis has 3 points, I have 8 points,
boo,
and Gurky has 4 points. So I'm currently in the lead, but it is still wide open.
All right, so looking for my guesses?
Yep, let's go for some guesses.
I'll start with, God, none of these are good. This is not good. All right, Andrew, you liked Sin City. Gurky, you of course like Rent. Travis?
Thinks there's some insider knowledge open on this.
Batman Begins.
I'm going to agree with Paul on Batman Begins.
And as we learned from Pirates of the Caribbean, if Travis, everyone agrees, it has to be right.
And then for Andrew, I have two written down here.
That's cheating.
Gosh, I'm only going with one of them. I have a feeling I'm wrong, but I'm going with Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And Paul, I switched mine for you just a minute ago, and I'm going with Wedding Crashers.
All right. So, yeah, I don't feel confident on the other two. For some reason, this is the one I felt maybe most confident for Paul.
Uh-oh.
I said Serenity. He's giving me a look.
That's what I switched it from.
Uh-oh. All right.
Yeah.
Do I choose my wife or you?
No. You're picking whatever you wrote down.
Andrew, I'm throwing the same dart Paul did. I'm saying Sin City. I can't.
Hey, I didn't say it was a dart. I said he likes Sin City. Authoritatively.
He made a cryptic remark last year about something good this year, I thought. So now I'm worried. And Gurky,
I caveated that to in the next few years, so that it doesn't give it away for what year it is, and also
when it's a Pixar movie.
It may not be. This
oh yeah, you were mentioning Pixar movies.
The decade of Pixar, guys.
And then Gurky, I'm going with a book, but not Harry Potter. I'm going with Chronicles of Narnia, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I have no idea if you like that series, but it's fantasy.
Like
it's a
series.
Movie, so I was going with it.
Spoiler alert.
That doesn't say it's my favorite.
Yeah,
I said I like
the
series.
Doesn't mean you like the movie. They make a lot of changes.
Yeah, we all know if Andrew's ever read the book by anything, he's going to hate the movie.
I like the Lord of the Rings! Yeah.
Did you hate the Harry Potter movies?
No.
Okay.
But I don't like the Harry Potter books.
Oh, you don't? Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, the Harry Potter movies are okay.
Interesting.
I am not a Harry Potter fan.
He just looks like Emma Watson. He can't do that when he's reading the books, because they're not picture books.
Right, before I get myself in trouble, I am going to guess Paul. Serenity. Travis.
Deep sigh.
40-year-old virgin.
Yeah, so what movie does he like? Ba-dum-bum.
Bjorky. Brokeback Mountain.
All right, so
Paul.
Now I get to disappoint everybody.
Yeah.
Again.
Ouch. Just like I have my entire life.
Oh, no, sweetie.
They can't stop the signal now.
Yes!
That's how I sign off of all of our podcasts. Serenity.
Had it written down. I switched it because...
Yeah. Wait, how is this disappointing you everyone? Who guessed it?
I also was like, I don't know why I'm saying yes. Like, I'm surprised because I guessed it and it's...
Didn't think you actually liked the movie that much.
I do like the movie. And it's hard to disentangle how much of that is residue from the show, because I do love the show. Firefly, probably Joss Whedon. Ooh, it's tough. He has to do Avengers. He has to do Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog. It's one of his greatest pieces of work. Firefly, great TV show. Some of it might be that they canceled it before they could be any bad episodes, really. And Serenity puts a nice little bow on it. Has some heartbreaking moments, really funny moments, and has a surprisingly libertarian theme to it, which kind of speaks to me about how there's a lot of discussion about how people are always meddling and trying to tell people how to live and how to do things and how that can backfire. And it's surprising because anybody who follows Joss Whedon on Twitter knows he's a super liberal, and probably this goes against all of his instincts. But, it's just a really, really smart and self-contained and great movie. And I just love it.
So you said that Fox canceled Firefly before they could make any bad episodes. Because
maybe there was one or two.
I can tell you which episodes are bad.
Okay.
It's about half of them.
Yeah. Well,
half. Wow.
You also don't like... Wait, I can't remember. Do you like Babylon 5?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't.
But you don't like Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Correct.
And you think Facebook's the evilest thing ever. So.
Anyway, yeah. We kind of knew Serenity was going to be coming up here, so yay. Sorry, Gurky.
It's okay. No, I literally changed it during his intro.
Wedding Crashers is not a bad guess, because that is also a great movie.
I changed it during the intro because I thought, like I said, I thought you loved the show, but didn't really love the movie.
I love the show, and I'm pretty sure I love the movie.
I did guess it for Paul because it is something I knew that he liked, but it is also a movie that surprisingly I liked. I don't like Firefly. I did like Serenity. I think the movie stands.
Which is weird. I don't know if I understand that, to be honest, because they're pretty similar.
There's a lot of similarities. There are elements of Firefly that I like, but those elements are less prevalent in the movie. They're more prevalent in the movie versus the elements I don't like. And I'll be honest, a lot of it is that certain characters in the show really bother me.
I was going to joke that they die. He likes that everyone dies.
And I was, as Serenity is coming to a close, spoiler alert for these very old movies again.
And a leaf on the wind.
It's very clear that there's a real chance everyone's going to die, and people are dying, and I'm like, holy shit, Joss Whedon's going to do it. He's going to kill them all. This is his blaze of glory. The show is going away. He's killing them all. This is amazing and fantastic. And I get hyped up. Yeah. And then, spoiler, they don't all die. But it's still really cool.
A lot of them die.
A significant number of people die.
Two of the main characters from the TV show die. And there's, in the space of like 5 minutes, there's like three times where you're like, oh my god, that guy
is all going to die.
Just got killed, yeah.
And the operative, who you mentioned earlier, is an amazing character.
Yeah.
What a fantastic antagonist, and not a bad guy. Antagonist.
Yeah, he's a good... He's a zealot who thinks he's doing right, and he knows that he's doing bad things for the greater good. What he thinks is the greater good.
Which is something that really appeals to me. It's one of the reasons why I've liked Rurouni Kenshin. So there's so many themes that fit into this, but it's a good movie.
Yeah. For once, you're right.
Okay. So, my favorite movie, Nobody Got.
Come on.
I love Rent You're on Broadway. You're
trolling me now.
No, I love the Broadway Rent. All the
things you constantly just bore me to death with, like how much you love these things. You're like, no, it's not my favorite.
Love Rent on Broadway or in the musical form. It's not fair.
How can you love it on Broadway and not like the movie?
The movie Chicago? Was not nearly as good.
Who knew Gherkin was such a Broadway hipster?
Oh, I love Broadway.
Elitist Broadway hipster.
I'm a big fan of Broadway. Anyway, that being said, I didn't think this was that strong of a year. I had trouble coming up with, hey, this is my favorite. I picked Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. I think this is probably...
Because it goes Cedric Diggory?
Cedric's cool. But this is actually also...
Is he cool or is he hot?
I mean, he's fine, he's honestly. Edward. I know. I'm aware that he's Edward, sweetie.
Maybe there's someone out there who isn't aware, though.
Yes, maybe someone out there knows who you mean by Edward and doesn't know that Cedric Diggory is Edward.
Edward Snowden.
Oh, yes, I'm sure.
Way to protect our privacy.
Yeah, so it was a really good story. You know, 3 and 4 might have been my favorite books in the Harry Potter series. And so, as such, the movies, they were done very well. And 3 and 4 are probably my favorite Harry Potter movies.
You know,
you'll find out if any more of them are.
There's a lot of talk about Prisoner of Azkaban being like the darkest movie, and I understand why and everything.
People think it's the darkest?
No.
No?
I don't think so. But well, I mean, people, you're saying people are talking about
it. Or maybe there's a total shift to it, which is darker and everything.
It's a total shift, absolutely.
To me, Goblet of Fire always sticks out as being a particularly dark movie. Not necessarily because of the entirety of the movie, but just because it's...
Cedric Diggory.
I mean, yeah, once Cedric Diggory is murder. It's pretty dark. Like once they get in the maze, and then there's a kid, the shining beacon. Like in any other like story, he would be like the hero, the
star.
He's like the straight A student. He's like all great. Both the girls love him. All the boys want to be him. He's he's like the greatest of the Hufflepuff has to offer, and he's just flat out murdered. And it doesn't get like a heroic death. And
Cho fixed him over Harry?
Yeah, he doesn't get the heroic death at all. It's just, he's just murdered. Yeah, like, and it's kind of shocking in a children's, what you would consider to be a children's story still.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty dark. And it's, I mean, I don't want to say it stuck with me or anything like that, but it's one of the more impactful moments of the whole Harry Potter series to me.
Also when Voldemort actually comes back, right? I mean, like, you finally get Voldemort.
He comes back, but to me, it's even... Cedric's death was bigger to me than Voldemort coming back. Because, I don't know, whatever. He's always been there doing bad things, but just the fact that,
but
like...
not on screen,
no one of importance had... I mean, sure, Harry's parents off screen before the movies had died, but no one else of importance had really died up until this point. And after this, a lot of people do die. You know, you get Tonks and other people dying. So, it's... And Lupin, I guess, too, right? So yeah, it's that stands out to me for that reason.
Lupin dies?
I thought so. I thought Lupin and Tonks both died.
I'm not remembering Lupin dying, but it's been a while since I've read it. I don't remember that. So
I will check on that. But I thought that their child was an orphan after that.
Aww. I like Lupin.
Yeah, everyone and Tonks. Come on, what's wrong with Tonks?
I like Lupin better than Tonks.
Okay.
But yeah, the point is the movies do take a darker tone here, and throughout Order of the Phoenix and Half-Blood Prince and both halves of Deathly Hallows in the movies, there's a lot of stuff going on. It's bad, and there's a lot of people dying, and there's a lot of evil in places of power as well. So.
And just for fact-checking purposes, Remus was also murdered by Death Eater Antonin Dolohov during the first half of the same battle, the Battle of Hogwarts. His death was avenged by Phileas Flitwick. So,
Lupin did die. That explains why I didn't see him again.
Well, that's late. That's, like, the last movie.
Yes, the Battle of Hogwarts,
But a lot of people are dying, so...
Well, I'm saying you didn't see him again after the last movie.
Right, because there's no more movies.
Right.
Didn't see any of them again. What's up with that?
Fantastic Beasts.
But that's before.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, on to Travis. Right.
So my favorite's going to get a lot of eye rolls, but you'll wait until influential to satisfy yourselves correctly. So, yeah, I know I was telling people beforehand this might be a stronger year. There's a few examples. They didn't fall into my favorite or influential. More of my worthy of discourse topics.
Is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
No.
Okay.
I had that on the list for him. Yeah. I was considering
I actually went with Hitch.
Okay, Hitch. Yeah. I thought that, because you mentioned that a lot in the 90s.
What? Possibly?
No.
How did he mention the Hitch a lot in the 90s?
I don't know. He kept on bringing up like Will Smith, like, oh yeah, I keep on thinking of Will Smith as being Hitch and stuff, but that's later on.
Well, yeah, so like that is one thing. Is like, yeah, when I think of Will Smith, this,
but
is,
it hadn't come out in the 2000s.
This is the movie.
No,
I know.
But when we were talking about the movies from the 90s,
oh,
I was talking about Will Smith, and Chavis was like, oh yeah, I think of him.
He's
as
saying
Hitch.
In the 90s. He thought you were saying in the 90s. No. But back in like high school.
I don't know what the hell. Gurky just gasped when I said, when I think of Will Smith, I think of this.
Yeah, no, Independence Day.
Well, and
I'm
sorry. That's the. That would be what more people would say, I understand. but like this movie, and I like Kevin James, like his goofy dance, like, you know, toss him pizza and like put the Q-tip, toss it away, and the dual plot lines of he's trying to help Kevin James get the uber hot girl, and then he's supposed to be the master craftsman and getting women, and he's trying to get Eva Mendes, and having to fight off this guy that wants to just use him to bang some chicks that he meets in an early movie. He's like, that's not what I do. And yeah, like, as rom-coms go, this would is like near the top.
This is your Love Actually. Yeah, so like I said, I considered it, but I'm like, now this is one of those where I feel like I'm going too niche and I should just go with the
mainstream.
The more clear answer.
Yeah, I feel stronger in this one being like I'm kind of on the fence about other movies, so I'll pick this one rather than like picking White Men Can't Jump for whatever year I did in the 90s, where I immediately regretted picking it.
Yeah.
I will stand by this one, and this one, like, my wife will just turn on and we'll just watch it. Not quite to love like we did something like Clerks or something, where it's just like randomly turning on and, oh, now we gotta watch the rest of the movie type thing. Yeah. But. So, Andrew...
So you guys both picked Sin City for me as my favorite movie from 2005, which it's not. But it's interesting because...
Thanks for the build-up there.
I was confident. I know I looked at it and I didn't discard it for no reason. I'd have it in my worthy of discourse, but it's not even in my worthy of discourse, which is stupid because it's totally worthy of discourse. It is not my favorite, so it's not like I'm going to change things now either way. My favorite is Batman Begins.
Wow. Interesting. I would not have guessed that. That was not under consideration. Defend yourself.
So Batman Begins is a very strong movie in the sense that, you know, you take the Batman legacy, you rebuild it, you reimagine. We had the Batman movies of the 90s. We talked about some of these in the discussions about the 90s. And we talked about how they had gotten campy, even with the darker turn from Tim Burton's Batman and then Batman Returns. It went a little bit weird when you bring in Jim Carrey or, you know,
Arnold.
The Batman nipples.
Yeah.
So this was a return to a truly dark Batman, and it took it a step further because it brought in a real realism that Tim Burton didn't have. He had a campy dark, whereas this was a genuinely dark. Christopher Nolan, as a director, is able to bring in all of his techniques and really showcase this in a mainstream movie. We didn't talk nearly enough about Memento, and maybe we'll talk about that shortly. But he did a great job in directing this film and got some good performances out of a lot of great actors. Cillian Murphy is here again, an actor of this decade. He doesn't have a lot of films, but every film he's in, with the possible exception of Red Eye, which is still a good movie.
I was just about to say, the only other film I can think of is Red Eye.
Every other film he's in, he has this amazing presence and does a phenomenal job and has these characters that are really engaging for me. Mm-hmm. So throughout, I like the performances, I like the actors, I like the story to be, it's a comic book kind of story, it's a little bit weird, but it worked and it was fun. And it was a really strong Batman movie.
Now I'm pretty sure you like Sin City better. I thought about it. I reject your argument.
I like Sin City. But
Sin City is weirder.
It's noir. That's about the only thing that's weird about it. Yeah.
It's dark.
It's very
like
dark.
Dark City. That's why.
Well, Batman Begins is dark too. It's very dark.
Yeah, but it's also consistently in color, which I assume would be a strike against it for you.
I do find it interesting that both Paul and I happen to land on Sin City.
It's not a bad pick. I do like the movie quite a bit. And I saw the movie before I read the graphic novels, or comics. I don't know which version this was, but I went back to it and I was like, yeah, this is good stuff. And I was really introduced to Frank Miller from that.
Who also did Batman or Dark Knight Returns?
He did some Batman stuff, and he did he worked on 300, right?
Probably. I'm pretty sure he was 300, yeah.
So we'll seeing some through lines on some of these movies as well.
All right, so it's my turn for most influential. Yes. All right. So in the 90s, I can't remember exactly what year, I mentioned Philadelphia as one of my most influential because of my theory that a lot of times movies can be more impactful in terms of social acceptance of certain things versus laws that are passed or other movements like that. And so that's why I went with Brokeback Mountain, because...
So that was the big movie I was thinking of this year that didn't make my list, though.
Yeah. I know... oftentimes people will say, oh, Brokeback Mountain should have won Best Picture over Crash, and I'm not going to rehash that debate, but I do think that Brokeback Mountain, if you look at it, I think it did a better job of introducing people to a normal kind of gay relationship, and did a better job of normalizing that. You see Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal, yep. Right?
That's
two leading Heath Ledger and Star Jake Gyllenhaal, yep. Right?
That's two leading stars.
Harley, Harley stars. Two leading Hollywood stars.
That's a little bit homophobic.
Not intentionally. That's a
little bit homophobic.
Not intentionally, though.
Two leading Hollywood stars.
Two leading Hollywood stars.
Each of them,
I honestly haven't seen the movie, so maybe this weakens my point a little bit, but Michelle Williams, like they were involved in heterosexual relationships at certain mm-hmm. points throughout the movie too. So it's
they're struggling with their sexual identities.
Yeah, it's a struggle, and they're cowboys and whatnot. So they're supposed to be these manly men and whatnot. And I think it did a better job of kind of normalizing homosexuality to a large portion of the population, much like Philadelphia kind of may have done a job of normalizing people with AIDS and homosexuality in its time. And I have no stats to back this up, but it's just a theory of mine, and I think that that's why it's an influential movie. Not because it influenced other movies later on, but just because it may have played a role in influencing social change.
And just from movie perspective, I mean, Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal, they were already stars, but this mm-hmm. like
starlets
just like elevated them even higher to like have the courage kind of to do something like that at the height of your fame.
Yeah.
So actually, when you started introing yours, I thought you might have picked my most influential, which is not Brokeback Mountain. It is Crash. Mm. And it really touched on racism and had a big impact in my mind. I remember when I saw it being horrified and just my jaw dropping, and being like, this is awful and interesting at the same time. Like, awful not in terms of it being an awful movie, but in terms of the content at times and racism being awful.
It's a difficult subject matter.
Yeah. And I thought they did a good job of it. I don't remember details well, but I do remember a scene with the cop and the rich African-American couple and being angry.
I can't remember the other names. One of them was Rhodey, the original Rhodey, I think, right?
Terrence Howard.
Crash was one of my worthy discourses, and I touched on this before. Crash, there's a lot of hate online for Crash. It's oftentimes mentioned as one of the worst Best Picture nominees.
Really?
Yeah, and oftentimes it's like Brokeback Mountain.
But I think that's also because people think Brokeback should have won. Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I don't quite understand it. I disagree very strongly with the Academy. We've mentioned a couple times jokingly, like, the top grossing movies never has any overlap with the Best Picture because the Academy just likes weird stuff. And I strongly believe that to be the case. I don't put a lot of credence in the Best Picture. But this is one of those times when I don't remember why I saw Crash, honestly, because I remember seeing the previews and thinking, ugh, this is going to be one of those stupid Hollywood movies where they're trying to be all preachy about how all white people are racist and that we're all bad people and we should feel bad about it. And that just sounds like something I don't really want to watch right now. But for supportive reason, I did see it. And I remember really enjoying it. And it was because, yes, it's kind of the nobody, a lot of the people aren't very realistic. They're kind of over the top racist. And that's kind of detracts from it a little bit. But they did try and portray, I think, a lot of different perspectives. And people who, by going through these experiences, some people change their minds. And to this day, I don't know how many of you have seen this movie, but there's a scene where, again, and maybe this hits me as a parent, but a scene where there's a guy in the driveway and his little girl thinks she has this invisible cloak that will protect people from harm. And she sees her daddy in an argument and she goes running up to, she's like, oh, he doesn't have his cloak because this is the cloak that the father gave to the daughter saying this will protect you from harm. And she's like, I gotta go give this cloak to my daddy. So she goes running up and jumps in his arms to give him the cloak at the same time that this guy pulls out a gun and shoots. And for a brief moment, you're like, oh my God, I think the daughter just got shot and killed. And it turns out that, spoiler alert, the guy, he's shooting blanks. But it's this huge, like my heart was pounding during that moment. And I'm like, I'm thinking this is awful. And it ties in. It's kind of like Love Actually. There's all these disparate stories that some of them tie together. Mm-hmm. And some people's racism affects other people. And I thought it was really cleverly done, really smartly done. Again, it's just a little bit of over the top. People who are super racist in the beginning become super like, you know, I don't say unracist, but they have a complete change of heart by the end. That's kind of unrealistic. But I thought it worked, and I thought it was really powerful, and a lot of the stories really impacted me. And so, yeah, I guess I'm backing you up there.
Yeah, one unfortunate association I have with the movie is when it first came out, there's a 1996 David Cronenberg movie also called Crash. Mm. About people who get in car crashes in order to have sex with each other, basically.
What?
It's a Cronenberg movie. If you don't know, this is in Cronenberg's wheelhouse, kind of. I'm looking at Andrew for confirmation.
I'm remembering Cronenberg. Naked Lunch, right?
Yeah, one of his? I think so, yeah. So he's very...
Not Steve Martin? No.
No. But Cronenberg is very...
strange?
Well, body horror type of thing is kind of what he's known for. Because he did... Yeah, he did another very popular movie like that. I thought that I'm thinking of, but yeah. So when this movie first, I was like, why are people talking about this movie now? Yeah. And then I obviously learned what the real movie was.
Yeah, I mean, it's got Matt Dillon, it's got Sandra Bullock. I think.
Well, yes, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So the real Crash that we're talking about now. Yeah, that's another one why I would
the real one.
I would throw Sandra Bullock in there as like. One of the actresses. I mean, she had Miss Congeniality to Crash. She's
got a lot of range. Yeah. Yeah.
And she has strong movies at the end of the decade, too.
And she's, like, unlikably, like, racist in this movie, too. most of the people are in this movie. But, it's... I don't know. I found myself surprisingly liking it, and I'm a little disappointed that...
The Fly, that's what I was thinking of. Not Naked Lunch.
The one, like, Best Picture winner that I'm so surprised I liked is the one that everyone agrees is, like, terrible.
I don't think people think it's terrible. I think they wanted Brokeback Mountain to win.
I don't know. Yeah.
So, yeah, just...
Videodrome is the David Cronenberg movie I'm thinking of, where it's... Notorious for
David Cronenberg has The Fly, Dead Ringers, Existence, Crash, the one that Travis is talking about, not the one we were just talking about. The fake one which came out first.
That's right.
Consumed, Maps to the Stars, The Nest, Cosmopolis, A Dangerous Method, Eastern Promises, Shaolin Soul Cinema, and this is the one that is well known, A History of Violence, based off of
which was actually this year too, was 2004.
Hmm.
Because William Hurt got nominated for Best Supporting Actor in History of Violence. There you go. At least we tied it back to 2004. my influential, here you go. Here's Batman Begins.
Okay.
Yeah. It was kind of maybe one of those choices where, like, I didn't want to pick a film that you own favorite. It was more influential to me than favorite. I mean, Paul's boy Kevin Feige in 2012 said... Chris Nolan's Batman is the greatest thing that happened to superhero films because it bolstered everything. So maybe you don't have the MCU if you don't have this. Who knows?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It for better or worse, set DC down a course of thinking all their movies had to be dark, though. So, like, this is a case of influential being bad, maybe. But, like, you look at the Man of Steel movie, Batman vs. Superman. And even, like, they're better ones. They've gotten better now. Suicide Squad, Wonder Woman, Justice League, Aquaman. But they're still darker than MCU movies tend to be. And they're darker than people probably want these movies to be. Besides, Batman is dark, but that shouldn't apply to Superman and Wonder Woman and some of these other characters. I think
Wonder Woman was dark.
Relative to what you might expect from a Wonder Woman movie, I would think.
I have some hope for this Wonder Woman 1984 coming up soon, because that looks like it's going to be much more...
It looks like Thor Ragnarok. To me.
That makes me sad.
That does make me sad.
Well, and what's the... disappoints is not the right word, but like that TV commercial... The trailer will come on during football, and my five-year-old daughter will go, Wonder Woman! And I'm like, I'm not going to take you to see this movie. I know you love Wonder Woman.
Not yet. Let's screen it first at the minimum.
But
did
also...
you say Hellas is 5?
In March.
Oh my gosh. I thought she was a lot younger than that.
Time flies.
I think of her as like 2.
Potentially, like, it probably would have come out anyway, but like, you have the CW Arrowverse now, kind of has a dark, kind of a darkish vibe to it. And then just, this is kind of from the Wikipedia page for it that I wouldn't have made these connections, but made, like, these darker genre films of like Casino Royale was a darker version of James Bond than before. X-Men Origins Wolverine came out after this is like a dark, like, that was like the first rated R superhero movie, I think. And apparently I didn't know about this, but apparently they're remaking RoboCop, or did they already remake RoboCop? Anyway, apparently that's going to be like a darker version too, even though the original was pretty dark already, I would think. But also just to have the guts to make a Batman movie and not put Joker in it.
Yeah.
In the first one. Yeah. The fact that your villains were Ra's al Ghul and the Scarecrow.
Yeah, no Joker, no
Riddler. No Riddler, no Penguin, no Catwoman. Freeze. Nobody from the Adam West or... And they probably did this intentionally. Nobody from the Adam West or the 90s Batman movies.
Yeah.
None of them. So that might have been a conscious thought to like, let's flush that out of people's systems and let's have these two, which are arguably two of the more important...
Still very strong villains.
Two very important. Like Ra's al Ghul and like Talia leads into... You guys name them daughtering Talia. Like, I lead into Talia.
That's not why she's named Talia.
No.
Let me caveat that.
And then that leads to Damian and all that stuff. And then, like, but then, and Scarecrow comes up a lot in the comics. I know you guys don't read the comics directly, but, like, Fear Toxin and Scarecrow get used by a lot of villains to screw around with Batman.
Yeah, I know. I mentioned before about how X-Men was a great movie, but it's still kind of a comic book movie. And Spider-Man helped lend a little bit more of a respectability and make it kind of a normal movie. And I feel like Batman Begins is kind of the next progression where it was kind of a serious film. Not just like a normal movie and not a comic movie, but also a serious film that had, you know, critics sitting up and taking notice and being like, oh, there's some merit to this.
Right, and they're kind of
a dumb action movie.
Deconstructing might be too hard a term in this, but like they're kind of deconstructing a superhero and like what Batman is and that type of like, there's not a whiff of camp in this one.
So. Yeah, no, it's taking itself as seriously as
possible.
It's taking itself seriously, not like melodramatically or anything like that.
Yeah,
All right, so my turn for my influential pick. My influential pick is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yes.
Influential.
Yes.
Yeah. This one was tough because it's tough to see how it is influential. It's in a lot of ways, this is the second best movie of the year, but there's not a lot. I mean, Sin City is worthy of discussion, but even still, I like Hitchhiker's Guide better. Or I can say it is influential is that it is taking the Douglas Adams stories and... once again, reinterpreting them, because no version is ever like the other. That's actually a point of pride for Douglas Adams before he passed, and it remains true to this day that no single... you don't have a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. You have this version of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and they will change it before they make it again. But it takes the ideas and the characters and introduces them to a much, much broader audience than they had been exposed to before. And anything that gets Douglas Adams and Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy exposed... That's pretty influential and pretty awesome for me, so I'm going to go with it.
Like Douglas Adams getting exposed, huh?
Not anymore, because what is left is rotting, so no thank you.
And I know I keep, previously you did.
I know I keep kind of bringing it up just because I reread the book recently, but that does seem like a pretty big thing that I don't, as big as Hitchhiker's Guide was for like the 80s in geek culture, I don't think Ready Player One ever mentions it.
Wow.
Huh.
They go Monty Python and like everything else you could guess. But yeah, I don't think Hitchhiker's ever, unless there's some subtle reference to it I'm missing. But
I don't know.
I wonder if that's on purpose. Who wrote Ready Player One again?
Ernest Cline.
Yeah, so I wonder if he didn't like it, yeah, or
maybe,
something.
Maybe it was one of the, maybe, you know? That was his. Yeah, he didn't like it. I don't know.
Well, he's American, and he's focused on a lot of American ideas as well. And,
but he wrote about Monty Python. He included, right. Monty Python was one of the Gates.
Maybe Douglas Adams stole his girlfriend.
Yeah. He's not old enough for that.
So,
that would be a... No, I'm not going down that path.
So, as much as I've loved the... I think I've still only read the first three. I don't know if I've got... I don't know if I've read Thanks for All the Fish and the fifth one. I forget what the fifth one is, but...
Hamburger House Shop at the End of the Universe?
Was this... This was only the first book, right?
Only the first book.
Yeah. So, did it not do well enough, I guess, to get them to make Restaurant at the End of the Universe?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it didn't. I don't think they expected it to make a lot of money.
It wasn't top 10 grossing.
It certainly was not top 10 grossing. It didn't make a ton of money. But it doesn't have... It's, you know, I guess science fiction movies always have bigger budgets. But I didn't feel like it was a big budget film. Because the effects were not strong. And
it's been a while since I've read the books, and... Full disclosure, I never actually saw the movie, but do they even get to 42 in the first book?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I couldn't remember, because the third book is called Light Universe and Everything, so I couldn't remember if they got to 42 in the first one or not.
It's in there. And again, even if it weren't, they could play around with it and make it happen.
Right, they would almost have to put it in the movie, because that's one of the biggest things people know from it.
So, worthy of discourse. Anybody...
You had mentioned Charlie and the Chocolate Factory in passing, and I did too, in that I was so disappointed in this movie.
I would rather just watch the original.
The original was so much better, and I loved the original, so I was really excited for this movie to come out. And I was so disappointed, because, I mean, I love Johnny Depp. I love the original material. And I was like, really? Just
too much Johnny Depp?
Didn't do it.
More or less disappointed than I was that you didn't pick Rent.
Sweetie, I love the musical Rent. I've seen it on Broadway and in theaters, like on tour, probably about 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Yeah.
Movie?
Not enough to be your favorite.
Not so much.
All right, so my worthy of discourse. I've already spoken about Crash extensively. I will mention Wedding Crashers. Great movie. It stands up to Dodgeball and Anchorman as being
not good enough super to be your quotable. Favorite.
It's not, can't quite... approach Serenity, but it's still a great movie, and Rachel McAdams, Owen Wilson, Vince Vaughn, and a great turn by Christopher Walken, and the Bradley, one of Bradley Cooper's first roles, I believe, too, as a kind of crazed fiance. Also, 40-Year-Old Virgin, a great movie, hilarious, definitely worth mentioning, and kind of an oddball choice here, Into the Blue. Which, to my knowledge, kind of introduced the whole, we're going to have hot people in bikinis.
That isn't that a surfing movie?
Yeah, Jessica Alba in a bikini and Paul Walker in a bikini. Or not bikini. That would be weird.
Man, Jake Gyllenhaal, you're starlets and you want Paul Walker in a bikini.
No, as far as I can tell, the entire point of that movie is like, let's get the two hottest people we can think of and put them in swimsuits like on a beach for the entire movie. I never saw the movie, but that's Jessica Alba.
Enough said.
Paul Walker. Yeah, enough said. So, that's my worthy of discourse.
See, I like beach movies usually, and when you first said that, I thought you were going to say, oh, it's a thriller action.
I think there's like...
very good reviews.
No, I don't think it's supposed to be any good. I mean...
Okay.
I think there's like buried treasure that like these smugglers are trying to steal, and these people find it or something. Really, it's just an excuse to see Jessica Alba in a bikini or Paul Walker in a bathing suit. Or wear. Topless. And wet.
Well, I'll hop in here for one thing. Like, while we're talking about the bad movies, potentially bad movies, I'll just throw it there. In the same year we got Batman Begins, we also had Elektra and the Fantastic Four.
See,
this is before we get to the good MCU movies.
I think the Fantastic Four was okay. Yes, not a great movie, but I think it. The first one was fun.
I think I also...
It's got Chris Evans.
Rise of Silver Surfer was so bad that it tinges my memory. Also, like, as much as I love Jessica Alba, she should not have been Sue Storm.
Maybe not. I can't speak to that. But, I don't know. I thought the first one worked well. Yes, Doctor Doom was not a great... It didn't work very well. But you got Michael Chiklis as the Thing. There's comedy and... Yeah. I don't know. I'll defend it weekly.
I noticed you're not defending Elektra, at least.
No. I didn't see it, but I don't think I would have any desire to even.
An actual movie that was meant to be funny, though, is The Longest Yard.
Yes, the Adam Sandler remake.
Adam Sandler, which I listen, Paul listens to the Ringer podcast, too, I think. And like I think they actually hate this one because they like the Burt Reynolds original, which is their generational type thing.
Fine. They're both good.
Yeah, I love this one. Like, this is like up there with Major League, where... If I still flipped through channels and this was on, I would just finish watching the rest of the movie.
Yeah, I think this one is a better one, and they probably is a generational thing. I have seen both of them. I like the original just as almost as much, but the new one has the car crash sequence and nothing else. It's so good. And that's early on, so that's not a spoiler.
And then all the wrestler cameos are great.
Really strong cast.
Yeah, and just like the final game sequence and everything is like pretty good. I'm not even going to mention very much of it, but yeah, Revenge of the Sith was the best prequel.
Yes.
That's not saying much, it was the best.
It was the best.
It is notable how we have not really mentioned any of the Star Wars movies.
Because this...
Not worth it.
They're not... They're not...
No!
Yeah, gosh. Like, the Ringer podcast that they go through every Star Wars movie and Mandalorian episode, whenever a character dies, they throw in the no sound clip constantly make fun of. And they talk at length about the I hate sand. It gets everywhere. It's not soft and smooth like you.
One of the biggest issues I think we are seeing here is that George Lucas cannot write dialogue.
Or direct his actors to act.
Correct. It is notable that Empire and Return were not directed by him. Now, he directed New Hope, though.
Right, but even in New Hope, the dialogue is bad. Joss Whedon does dialogue really well. That's one of the reasons why we like a lot of his movies.
You think Joss Whedon should take over Star Wars?
I think it would be, you'd have a lot better Star Wars
movies. Too bad Marvel broke Joss Whedon.
It's weird how he hasn't done much lately.
He's had a few years to recover. He's good now.
But he did say after making Avengers, yeah. I think especially Age of Ultron, he was
I'm done for it.
It was too much for him. You already mentioned 40-Year-Old Virgin. A movie that I don't know if anybody else would have even heard of, but Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
I've heard of it.
I think I almost picked it for you.
It has Val Kilmer and Robert... Yeah, my wife actually said, isn't this your favorite movie of this year? I'm like, ugh. Batman, though.
That was my thinking.
But, like, and I had to look this one up because I think there's a different sequence in this, but being an English major, one of the sequences I always love in there is, clearly I'm interrupting. I feel badly. Bad. Bad? Sorry? You feel bad. Bad? Badly is an adverb. So say you feel badly would mean that the mechanism which allows you to feel is broken. And I think they talk something about sleep well versus sleep good. And like that, Paul is shaking his head and rolling his eyes. But like, that type of stuff. But Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer are fantastic in this movie.
During his coking up phase, apparently.
This was probably on his path to recovery, I would guess.
He's at the very end of it, at least.
Okay.
RDJ?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you mentioned the words 40-Year-Old Virgin, but you didn't actually say much about it.
Well, somebody else had also. I think Paul said the words, too.
I threw it out as my guess for you.
I made a joke.
And then Paul made a joke about it at the same time. So this was a comedy that came out at that point. I've actually not seen it, but I remember you both liking it a lot, so that's why I was...
You haven't seen it?
No.
You make a disgusting face like, no, why would I?
Yeah, why would I?
Because it's hilarious.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of comedies most of the time. I mean, that should be pretty obvious.
You like your movies to be depressing, where everyone dies at the end.
But you like The Office, right? You like Steve Carell?
No.
No? Okay.
He doesn't like to laugh. He doesn't like joy.
But it's also one of
That's why I thought Sin City would be perfect for you.
So
it's such a joy-sucking, soul-sucking movie.
In retrospect, I probably should have had it as my influential.
Yes, you should
My
have.
Influential, because...
I got my point there.
The point is Gherkins, but I think that I made a mistake.
Yes.
And I think that Sin City is very influential. And one of the reasons that it is influential that we haven't talked about is that the art style that is so predominant in it gets copied and aped by other movies later on. Just a couple years later, we have The Spirit, which is god-awful. Don't watch it. But it's black and white with those hints of red that are coming through. It's and the darkness and the characters, you know, Elijah Wood's character in Sin City is just creepy as hell.
Mm. There's a lot of creepy as hell characters.
Well, I think Elijah Wood takes the cake there.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, you're probably right.
No, so. I'm just trying to scroll through. Like, one thing usually, especially seems like for Paul and me, is like a comedy movie has to be almost wall-to-wall quotable, although we couldn't think of really any quotes for Harold and Kumar besides we've gone too far. But it took me several minutes of while you were talking to think about any single quote from 40-year-old Virgin that I actually remember. But now I do remember, like, do you do it yourself, I guess, is the one I can remember.
No, it's like bags of sand.
Yeah, but like nothing that comes up in conversation, I guess. Nothing like Anchorman or
it's not. Definitely nothing that comes up in conversation. Yeah. The only thing that I can think of from it, and this is from the trailers essentially, is, you know, he's being waxed, so he's having his chest hair ripped off.
Yeah. Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah. So this scene is actually him being waxed. Yeah. Yeah, this is not a stunt or anything. They're actually waxing it. So
and it was all, and it was ad-libbed.
So two more.
Scene I remember from it is peeing in his face.
I don't know that one.
Yeah.
It's not really a spoiler because it happens like the first 5 minutes.
Morning issues.
Morning wood. We're getting explicit tag already, aren't we?
Yes, if
we not on this episode. Well, that was the last one.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he's supposed to answer everything with a question. Hi, how are you? I'm fine. Are you fine? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Then you're fine then. Are you fucking retarded? Do you want me to be fucking retarded?
Wait, which one?
That's from the 40-year-old Virgin when he's doing the speed dating thing.
What?
I don't remember
that's
that part.
One of the advice he gets from one of his friends is you answer everything with a question.
It's obviously terrible advice.
That's the joke.
Yeah.
Two more movies for you guys. Madagascar, starting off another series, came out this year.
Yep.
Another comedy movie, a little more kid-friendly. DreamWorks, not quite as strong as the Shrek series, but has some interesting characters. And they've had spin-off movies with their penguins. So this has got some legs on it.
And Netflix made a New Year's countdown for them, I think, this year.
Yep. And King Kong. Peter Jackson said, I'm not done with my massive epics yet. Have another one.
I'm surprised no Capote.
Haven't seen it.
Okay. So that was a big avoidance of a miss for me. I almost picked Capote as for you.
I think if I do see it, I will like it a lot.
I'm just going to go ahead and mention War of the Worlds and the underrated Tom Cruise flick. I think underrated. Maybe it's properly rated. I don't know.
But saw it.
It was a big movie. It was like the
rave review there.
It's a movie.
It exists.
Once Bill Murray's an actor. It's a movie. I saw it. So it was fourth highest grossing movie. I mean, it was big. Just another,
it was a Tom Cruise summer movie. It was
another
going
notch
to make
in
money.
Tom Cruise's belt. Well, yeah, I suppose. That's pretty much all I think I have to mention. Anybody else?
Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Yeah. I liked that one.
It was okay.
Yeah. It was fun. I mean, it was just like a...
It's a nice action movie.
Nice action,
with an
romance, fun.
A little bit of personal drama in it.
Yeah. And then the fact that they were actually a couple...
For a little bit longer.
Yeah, at the time.
Just to bring it up because... since one of the actors I keep throwing out there is Heath Ledger, because he was a Brokeback. He was also in Brothers Grimm with another actor that I keep throwing out there, Matt Damon. But that was like, when you mentioned something about Van Helsing last year, Paul, and you said, or somebody said something about a similar movie this year, and I thought maybe they were referring, your guys were going to refer to Brothers Grimm. But not saying it's a good movie, but like it was, it seems like they kind of kept trying to make that type of movie work.
Something about this seems really close, and they are. I think there's something really close to good. Van Helsing is a movie that could have been interesting if it weren't quite that campy. You know, it's just a little bit too much campy.
I think it needed to be either more or less.
Fine.
Of too serious and simultaneously too campy.
Yeah, I you can go totally campy and just have it be a comedy. They definitely did not hit their mark.
Which is, well, and they're trying to maybe course correct on that. They're trying to make like the with the Universal Dark Universe or something, where they're rebooting all their classic monsters.
Yeah, but I don't think it's worked too well.
Well, no, because your boy Tom Cruise blew it with The Mummy with that reboot.
Hey, this is like 2 decades after what I'm talking about. Or no, 1 decade, I guess.
But we also started this decade with the Mummy, one of the Mummy movies, and then the Scorpion King being pretty big blockbusters for them.
Those were decent movies.
So I don't know if they saw that, like, hey, that kind of works, but let's.
How on earth does Brendan Fraser do a better job than Tom Cruise?
He's better suited, I think. I think Tom Cruise doesn't quite have that. It's hard for me to say.
I think it gives the movie too much heft almost to have Tom Cruise in it rather than Brendan Fraser.
He seems too serious in it. Unless
he's too intense. He's not serious. Yeah, he's too intense for it.
Yeah.
Why so serious?
That's wrong movie.
Wrong movie.
Yeah.
Good actor, but wrong movie.
Heath Ledger.
Yes. Well, that's why in 2005 I wrote down at the top of the page Heath Ledger, because it started with Boom. I mean, one, he had Knight's Tale. Was like Knight's Tale, Brokeback. A movie we won't talk about yet. But yeah, he had a pretty strong decade.
That changed my pick.
Okay. Really? I mean...
Anything else? Anybody? All right. So, discord.io/rampantdiscourse is our Discord channel. Follow us on Twitter at Rampant Disc. Facebook page at Rampant Discourse. RampantDiscourse.com. Give us a review on iTunes, Spotify, anything else. Anyone else am I missing? Anything else?
You need a better lead-in than just going discord.io. Join the discussion on discord.io/rampantdiscourse.
She needs a raise.
There you go. We'll pay you twice your salary.
Ooh, twice my $0?
Yes. Triple it.
Triple it? Oh, you're so generous. Infinity.
No, that's not crazy now. All right. Can't stop the discourse. Or they can't stop the signal now.